sure. You want me to pray?
Now,
is anybody in here besides him want me to pray tonight? I tell you, it's going to be the unction of the Holy Ghost if I preach, because I don't think I've ever been this tired all my life. Amen. But I'm going to preach. Amen. I got to lay this down. Am I not wearing this microphone tonight?
Yeah.
I'd prefer wearing it, because I got home last night, I couldn't hardly talk. And I that means I wouldn't be able to preach them all night. Maybe it's just mental security. Is it turned on?
Yes, sir.
No,
you have turned it right down.
Huh?
You got.
Just turn this on.
Yeah, turn the switch right down.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
It's dragging the floor. I don't know how you can hear me. Got good ears, amen. I got this lady in my church. And bless her heart, I love her to death. She's got two hearing aids, okay? And every time I say something to her, now, I thought hearing aids supposed to help you hear, right? Aren't they supposed to help you hear?
Yeah.
And every time I say something to her, she says, "What'd you say? What'd you say?" I say, "Sister Betty, have you got them hearing aids turned on?" "Oh, I got them. I can hear loud and clear." "What'd you say?" I can't figure that one out. Mm-mm. I want you to get your Bibles out tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Now, most likely, if Preacher Paul was here tonight, I would not be preaching this message. Because I've tried to preach 30 or 35 minutes every night with Preacher Paul. But I've never been able to preach this message in 30 minutes. But maybe tonight I'll just preach part of it. Because I really feel like God wants me to preach this message. You say, "Well, you preached it before, hadn't you?" Well, I did 4 years ago. That's the last time God told me to preach it. Because I'm not comfortable sometimes. Y'all, I think you've enjoyed the illustrations. But that's not my forte. I'm not comfortable with illustrations. I have one or two a year at home. I've had two already this week. So you're already ahead of my church. We're going to have a third one tonight. We got to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now let's turn to Psalm 31 too. I'm going to read from these two passages tonight. Now, if I get to preaching fast tonight, you may not be able to keep up with me. But I will promise you this. I will be in the Bible. And if you can't keep up with me, just jot down the scripture reference and read it later, and you're going to find out that I stayed right with the book.
Amen.
That's not a boast, that's just a fact. Most of the time when I preach, 95 times out of 100, I'm going to take a passage of scripture like I did last night and the night before, and I'm going to preach through it. But tonight I'm not doing that. I normally preach what's called, let's see, what do you say it? Expository messages. Tonight I'm going to preach a topical message. That a topical message is a message that jumps all over the Bible. Okay? It's about a subject, and it's covered all over the Bible. Now I got to get ready first. Have you found your place in 2 Corinthians? Did I say 2 Corinthians 4? And I said Psalm 31? Okay? Now listen, I'm going to tell you something now. I am not worried about how many people are here. That does not affect me when I preach. I'm going to preach. If the Lord will be my helper, Brother Bill, I'm going to preach like the house is full and hell's outside the front door.
Amen.
The Lord being my helper. Let me get some stuff out of here. Let's see. There's a black marker. Are y'all ready? Let's see. There's a couple of bags. Potted plant. There's another plant. All right, right. I got to keep this back because I got to get out there in a minute. All right. Let's see here. That's for the preacher. I'm going to give it to his wife. Let her use it on him. All righty. Are y'all still paying attention? I'm fixing to read my scripture. I hadn't lost my mind. I've been to the Country Boy store, though. Y'all know where that's at? I've been there. Hey? And does anybody know what this is? I've been to Family Dollar tonight, too, right up there. The Country Boy store and Family Dollar. And Dollar Tree and Family Dollar. And my. I've been to Lowe's. Let me see if I got anything else in my bag. My bag's empty. Hey. All right, let's read our scripture. Hey, then we're going to get to the message. Hey. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let me ask you something. What kind of vessel is that clay pot right there? It's an earthen vessel, ain't it? It's made of the earth. Okay? We have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Can you say amen there?
Amen.
Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Are you ready? Psalm 31. I didn't ask you to stand, because you stood up a lot tonight during the prayer. Psalm 31:9. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. This is David talking now. For I am in trouble. Have you ever said that to God? Mine eye is consumed with grief. That was my wife this morning. She was just weeping and weeping and weeping about her mom. My eyes consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I am a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Let's pray. Father, If you don't help me tonight, there'll be no help for me. And that means there'll be no help for your people. These people came out faithfully tonight. Lord, I knew it was Wednesday night. I knew the faithful crowd would be here, and probably nobody else. But Lord, that didn't deter me none, because I knew I was carrying a precious Bible, and you had a truth for me to preach. And Lord, I don't often preach this message because I'm fearful to preach it, Lord, because I don't feel like I can handle it the way it needs to be handled, and I can't preach it the way it needs to be preached. I don't feel qualified. And I mean that sincerely, Lord. Would you please illuminate my mind and quicken my thoughts and fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. And help me to preach what needs to be preached tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure, an earthen vessel. And that's what I've got right here. I've got an earthen vessel right here. Now, I'm going to quiz you just a little bit because I want you to help me with the message tonight. And I want all the church to get involved. Can somebody tell me something you can do with this earthen vessel? Well, now that's true. Something creative you can do. You can put a flower in. I brought a flower. Hey, I got pot and soil and a flower. I could put a flower in it. And I think it looked right pretty, don't you? What's something else you might could do with it? My mother took one of these, not just one. She went and got four different size flower pots. Okay? And she got the little trays that go under them. Okay? The big one, she got the biggest tray. Okay? And she took all those flower pots and she turned them upside down and stacked them up on each other and painted them and took the tray and put it on top and made her a birth bath out of flower pots. I thought that was so creative. You know, at Vacation Bible School, you can paint these things. We did that one time. But I thought about something. I thought about something. You know, there's one thing I actually went outside and I practiced and I done it. I got this black marker outside. I pulled up there behind that building long before y'all got here. I got here at 5:30. And then I come back later. And I pulled up there. And then I pulled down there and I did a little bit more with this big old black marker that I went and bought down at Family Dollar. And I made a likeness of your pastor. Look at here. You can paint a face on it. See his hair? Kind of sparse. Got his glasses on. How about that? Man, you can get creative with a flower pot. There's all kinds of things you can do with a flower pot. And boy, I mean, it's valuable like it is. God said, I put my treasure in this earthen vessel. But then along came David. And David said over there in verse 12 of Psalm 31, he said, I am like a what? A broken vessel. Who wants to plant a flower in this? David said, I am like broken vessel. There are times in our life when we feel this way. We feel useless. We feel broken. We feel like we're a waste of time and money. We're like a broken vessel. I want us to take a few minutes tonight. Now, I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to preach about 30 minutes now, okay, from where it's at right now. And I want us to look in our Bible, and if you can't keep up, please just write down the scripture, okay? I want us to look at the Bible. I made a study in my Bible, preacher, of what God did in the Bible with broken vessels. And David said, I'm like a broken vessel. And then the Bible says that God puts his treasure in an earthen vessel. And I'm thinking, well, what can God do with a broken vessel? What can God do if I were to give him my broken vessel? And my vessel's broken. This vessel has been broken, friend. I fell off the roof of our church in 1992 and crushed two vertebrae in my back. Then, last December, they operated on my neck. I had three messed up vertebrae in my neck. Three of them discs in my neck were messed up. And the vertebrae between them was messed up. And they went in there and they did fusion stuff. And put that plate in there and them screws in there to hold me together. I'm a broken vessel. You may be sitting here tonight and you may feel broken. And you may be wondering, what can God do with me like I am? Well, I want you to look with me in the Bible at what God did with a broken vessel. First place we're going to go tonight is Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, you know the story of Job. He was a man in the land of Uz, and he was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. God had put his treasure in this man by the name of Job. The devil came along. The devil stripped away. All of his possessions were gone. And then the devil took his people, his children, and stripped his children away from him. And I preached last Sunday on when God sets his sight, the devil sets his sights on you, that he'll attack your possessions, and he'll attack your people, and then he'll attack your person. And he did that to Job after he got through taking his children away from him, taking his possessions away. Then he attacked his health. And the Bible tells us in chapter number 2, in verse number 3 or 4, the Bible says, verse number 5-7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Here's Job. Hey. I'm interested in chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says in Job 2:8 these words. I'm holding a broken vessel in my hand. And the Bible says, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Oh, Job looked around that day. There he was, covered with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And he was in great pain and anxiety. And he reached over and he found a piece of a broken pot. And the Bible says he took that and he began to scrape himself with that piece of broken pot. Amen. That piece of broken pot had the ability to relieve the suffering of a saint. That broken vessel had relieving power. That broken vessel could come along beside a saint who was suffering, a saint who was grieving, a saint who had lost it all, a saint who was in great anxiety, and that broken vessel came along beside him and had relieving power, and it would relieve the suffering of the saint. I go now to, wow. Remember, Moses had a criminal record, but God used him, didn't he? He was a broken man. Jacob walked with a limp. God used him. God can use a broken vessel to relieve the suffering of others. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 30, I believe it is, the Bible tells us this. Wherefore, in verse number 12, Isaiah 30 and verse 12. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and say their own. Therefore, this iniquity shall be in the ears of a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly and an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. If you lived in Israel in the olden days, every commodity that you could imagine was valuable to the people of Israel. And if a lady had been out to the well to get water, and she had accidentally dropped her pot and broken her pot, she would gather up the scrap pieces of that pot, and she would go through them one by one and try to imagine something that she could do with that broken vessel. And everyone in Israel had a hearth inside their home. That's where they did their cooking. That's how they kept their family warm. And every home needed something laying on the mantle something like this, a piece of broken pot, a piece of a broken vessel. You would find it laying on the mantle in every home of every ordinary person. Everybody like us in the land of Israel would have a piece of a broken pot laying up on their mantle. Now, you know what they did that with that? The Bible tells us that sometimes, the Bible's teaching us here, that there would be times that sometime during the night, the fire in the hearth would go out. Mama would get up in the morning and there would be no fire in the hearth. There would no place, nowhere for the children to get warm when they crawled out of the bed. And so Mama would go over and shake Daddy two or three times. And she'd say, "Hey, the fire's gone out in the hearth. The fire's gone out in the hearth." And he would go in there into the living room where the hearth was at, and he would take the poker and he would try to poke down there where the coals were supposed to be. There wouldn't be no hot coals. And he'd say, "Mama, I'll be back in a few minutes." And he'd walk over to the mantle and he'd get a piece of a broken pot and he'd go over to his neighbor's house and he'd say to his brother, he'd say, "Brother Bill, the fire's gone out at my house and the children are all and be cold when they get up. Would you mind if I got some hot coals off of your fire?" And he'd get them hot coals off of that fire and he would put it on that piece of broken pot and he would go back, sheltering it from the wind, back to the house, and he would sit it down underneath where his kindling wood was at in the fire, and he'd begin to blow on them hot coals. All of a sudden, the kindling would light, and the kindling would begin to burn, and then he would stoke the fire with some wood, and the fire would begin to blaze, and he'd say, "Mama, go get the babies now. There's fire in the hearth. There's fire in the hearth, Mama. Oh, go get the babies. There's fire in the hearth." You see, God can use a broken vessel to rekindle the fire in somebody else's hearth. Did you know the word hearth is spelled H-E-A-R-T-H? God can use you and I, even though we're broken, even though we feel exhausted at times and weary from the battle, and we feel like we're not the person we once were, and we can't do the things we could once do, and we can't work for God like we once were able to work for God, yet God can take us and God can use us to relieve the suffering of others, and God can use us to rekindle a fire in somebody else's hearth. God can use us to help a neighbor whose fire has gone out, to help a brother whose children have gotten cold. God can use us to rekindle the fire in the hearth of others. In the book of Mark, the Bible says Jesus told the disciples, he said, and Peter, he said, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him, and he has said unto you. And they remembered his words, the Bible says, in an old broken vessel. That broken vessel he was talking to in Mark 16 was a lady named Mary. He said, Mary, why don't you go tell Peter and the disciples that I'm alive. God used a broken vessel to rekindle the fire in the heart of those disciples, the fire that had gone out. Now go back. Who is that? Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, I want to read that verse again because the last part we didn't mention. The Bible says, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter. That's what is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in it the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the heart. Or take water withal out of the pit. When that lady had been down there to the well, she had accidentally broke that vessel. She gathered up most of the pieces and took them home. But you see, nobody, no old poor man living down in Jerusalem, him and his wife, they couldn't afford to go out and buy a dipper and leave it down at the well so that when they got thirsty, they could go get them a drink of water. So what they would do is they'd take a piece of pot that kind of had a dip in it or something like this, something that they could go down there and draw that bucket up out of the well and dip down that bucket and get them a drink of water. Can you see that in your mind? They're down at the well, and they looked around, and there's no dipper there, but there's a piece of an old clay pot laying there. There's a piece of an earthen vessel laying there, and it's kind of shaped like a cup, maybe, and they say, oh, I know what I can do. I can take that old broken vessel right there, and I can get me something to drink. Amen. So that broken vessel, it had relieving power. It could relieve the suffering of others. It had rekindling power. It could rekindle the fire in the hearth of someone else. But that broken vessel, according to this passage that we just read, that broken vessel had reviving power. It could revive a thirsty soul. Reviving power. God can take a broken vessel and use that broken vessel to revive a thirsty soul. Boy. Remember old Samson? Old Samson went out and he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. But the Bible says after he got through, he just fell down and collapsed with thirst. And God claved, that means broke, opened up. A hollow place in the jawbone of that ass. And water poured out and revived Samson's thirsty soul. In John chapter 4, Jesus has said to his disciples, I must need go by Samaria. And there comes a water to draw, a woman to draw water from the well because she's thirsting. And Jesus says to her, if you knew who it was that spoke to you, you would ask of me and I'd give you living water. The woman said, sir, give me this water to drink. Wow. Verse 28, I'm interested in John chapter 4, because it says, and she left her water pot. Then the woman left her water pot and went into the city. You know what she did? Listen. Old broken vessel. And God, here's a woman that's been married 5 times. She's shacked up. Been married at least 4 times. She's shacked up now to another man. And she goes back and she tells all them people in that town, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. And they all went out there, and the Bible says, and many believed on him. Why? Because a broken vessel, a woman broken by sin, broken by divorce, broken by heartache of a lost love. That broken woman came to them and told them about Jesus. And God used her to revive thirsty souls. Hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Not because you can't understand, but because I'm not so good at explaining things sometimes. Broken vessels. God puts his treasure in earthen vessels. And then David says, David's lived his life out. Now he's got some kind of venereal disease. He can't get warm. He shivers all in the night. He's had a son commit murder. Another son commit rape, incest. He's had people rebel against him. He's had a son run him out of town, chase him off the throne. And there he is broken. He says, I'm like a broken vessel. And God says, oh, yes, I know. We're all there sometimes. God said, let me tell you what I can do with a broken vessel. I can take a broken vessel and I can relieve the suffering of others. I can take a broken vessel and I can rekindle the fire in a heart. I can take a broken vessel and revive a thirsty soul. In Mark chapter 14, we read about another broken vessel. We read about a lady who was a prostitute, a harlot, full of the devil. But one day this broken vessel met the Lord. And she fell madly in love with the Savior. And she heard that he was down at Simon's house, I believe. And she goes over there, the Bible says, with an alabaster box of ointment. Very costly, the Bible says. They say an alabaster box of ointment would cost a Roman soldier 1 year's wages. It wasn't something you just turned your nose up at. It was a very precious commodity. And they kept it in an alabaster box to preserve it. And the Bible says she came before him with that alabaster box of ointment, and she broke it and poured it on him and washed his feet with her hair.
Amen.
And when the disciples said, filled with indignation, the Bible says, he says, why was this waste of ointment made? It could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor or something to that effect. And Jesus said this. Please listen. In Mark 14:9, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm telling you that God can use a broken vessel to relieve the suffering of others. God can use a broken vessel to rekindle the fire in the heart of another. God can use a broken vessel to revive a thirsty soul. But in Mark 14:9, God used a broken vessel to reveal to others. To reveal to others where she stood with God. He meant more to her than the treasures of this life. He meant more to her than precious ointment. He meant more to her than a year's wages. He meant more to her than anything in this world. In the whole world, from that day to this day, knows who her Savior is, knows where Mary stood with Jesus.
Amen.
All because of a broken vessel. There's power. You see, God, oh, he could look around and he could have passed me over and said, I mean, when I was about 15 or 16, I did like this all the time. I couldn't talk plain. I'd stutter. I'd repeat my words. God could have passed me over. I didn't come from the right side of the tracks. When I was born, my parents lived on a mill village. We lived in a mill house. I didn't have all the things that other people had. I didn't have parents that could just pay my way to college. If I wanted to go to college, I was going to have to work and make money to pay my own way. They didn't just go out. They didn't just go out and buy me a new car to drive to high school. When I was in high school in the 12th grade, Brother Bill, I believe it was 11th grade, you know what my car was? A 1953 Plymouth Cranbrook. Well, I drove to school in the 11th grade. And every time I drove in the parking lot of the school, the people say, who is driving that old raggedy car? I didn't have a lot going for me. And then I hurt my back. Messed up my neck. I had to have emergency surgery because all the muscles in my back on my right side were interlaced with my intestines and was poisoning my system. And when I was 25, I was about to die. And here I am, be 60 this year. And I get to preach at Faith Baptist Church in Ringo, Georgia. God take a broken vessel and use a broken vessel. I mean, others would have passed me by, just like others would probably pass you by. But God can take us in our brokenness. God can take us in our wretchedness. God can take us in our weakness. God can take us when we're not good for anybody in the whole world, it seems. God can make something out of it. God can use a broken vessel to relieve suffering, to revive the thirsty, to rekindle the fire, to reveal. My wife has trouble walking. We have steps going up to our piano, just like y'all do. My wife really has trouble. There are some mornings that she cannot get out of the bed if I don't help her. There's times she can't get out of the recliner if I don't help her. And my wife that was diagnosed, a lady told us several years ago that she had the early stages of Alzheimer's, and my wife's just 61. And there are times, preacher, 3 or 4 nights of the week, I'll come in and my wife will say, I forgot to take anything out to cook. And it's not, and she'll cry. Because she just plain forgot. But you know what? Just a few weeks ago, with her in her broken condition, she got a phone call. Somebody wanted her to go out of town. She has trouble traveling anyway. But she went about 2 hours away to stand in front of a bunch of ladies with a knee brace on and not really sure that she could remember all she studied, and told them that God sure does love you. And she taught them about the love of God, because God uses broken vessels. Did you know that God chooses broken vessels? You look in 1 Corinthians and you'll find somewhere around verse number 19 that God didn't choose God chose the weak things to confound the wise. God chooses the weak. God chooses the broken. Because you see, God, He's a jealous God. And He wants all the glory. He wants all the glory. He's not going to share His glory with nobody. So He wants those who are broken to serve Him, to live for Him, to work for Him, because He knows that the broken, anything is accomplished for God, we'll give Him all the glory. So God chooses to use a broken vessel. And oh, what great things God can do with a broken vessel. He can use them to relieve the suffering of others. He can use them to rekindle a fire in somebody else's heart. He can use them to revive a thirsty soul. He can use the broken. He can use the broken to reveal to this world who their Savior is. I can have liberty, I'll finish the message. Way back yonder, in Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7, you read a story of a fellow named Gideon. How many of you know the story of Gideon? Raise your hand for me. It'll help me save time. You know the story of Gideon, right? Old Gideon's getting ready to fight a battle, and he's got a big army, and God says it's too big, they'll get the glory. So he knocks it down. He knocks it down from 20,000 to 10,000. He says, there's still too many. And he says, I want you to take them out of water and let them drink. And this crowd go home and the other crowd stay. And when he got done, 9,700 more went home and 300 were there. If you read your Bible real close, and I challenge you to do that, 300 men are going out to battle, and Gideon breaks them up in three companies, 100 here, 100 here, 100, kind of a triangle around the enemy. And the enemy, the Bible says, is as grasshoppers in the valley for multitude. There's not a place in the whole big old valley, a huge valley. Not a place. I mean probably over 100,000 soldiers or more. I'd have to look it up down in that valley. Gideon goes over here and Gideon and 100 go over here. And the Bible tells us that when they go out to fight this battle, when they go out to this war, the Bible tells us, where's it at? The Bible tells us, around verse number 18, they had newly set the watch. And they went out there, and you do not read anywhere in this passage where anybody has a sword other than Gideon. So can you imagine 300 men going off to fight a battle and they don't have a sword? But they do. What they do have is this. The Bible says they have pitchers, drinking pitchers, water pitchers, and lamps in the pitchers. They had clay pot water pitchers. And they took those lamps and they lit them and they stuck them down in them pictures so they kind of looked like, were like a flashlight to them. But the enemy could not see them. The enemy could not see the light in the picture. And then they had a lamp with a light in the picture. Okay? They had a picture with a lamp in the picture. And then they had a trumpet in this hand. Everybody had a trumpet. Okay? That's a whole other message, by the way. And boy, I'd like to preach that message. Woo! What do you do when you're outnumbered? Anyway, he said, what I do, y'all do. I want you to say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And when you say that, I want you to take those trumpets, okay? Blow them, whoop, and pew, smash them against the pitchers so that the lamps will go fall to the ground. And they did exactly that. They broke the pitchers. The lamps fell to the ground. And the enemy just started killing each other. And there was a great victory that day for the nation of Israel. You said, what's that got to do with me? I want you to imagine this. Brother Bill, you're Brother Bill, right? You've got the best name in the room. I want you to imagine this. I don't know how old Brother Billy is. And I don't know a thing about him. I don't know if he's got any grandchildren or not. But let's just suppose he fought side by side with Gideon. Now, I don't know much about servicemen or soldiers. Because the only one I ever knew was my dad who fought in World War II. He was an ambulance driver in World War II. And what my daddy did was when the war was over, somehow or another, he managed to bring home a souvenir of the war. He brought home a German assault rifle. Y'all, some of y'all, you may know what that is. Does anybody know what it is? Okay. It was a 7mm assault rifle. Okay. I mean, it was automatic. After you pulled it one time, it went. That was his souvenir of the war. That was his trophy from the war. Well, these guys, they didn't have no German assault rifles. They didn't have no swords. They didn't have no lamps because they was laying on the ground. They had to use their trumpets. They passed them down to the next guy. The only thing they could take back from the war was a broken pitcher. I want you to imagine this. Brother Bill has fought in the war with Gideon. He's come home from the war. And all he's got for souvenirs is an old broken pot. And he just... Now, down on that end of the mantle is the one they're going to carry the water with. They're going to go get the fire with. But this is a special... He puts this in a special place. He may even put it in his wife's china cabinet. I don't know. But he puts it somewhere. And he says, now, I don't know. Honey, don't nobody touch that. Don't nobody touch... That's my souvenir from the war. Okay? That's my souvenir from the war. Don't let nobody touch that. And one day, Brother Bill is sitting in the rocking chair. And here comes his little three-year-old grandson. And he crawls up in his lap. And he's sitting there with Brother Bill while he's rocking away. And all of a sudden, that little boy's eyes... see that thing up there on the counter. You know how kids' eyes are, right? And he says, Grandpa Bill, what is that broken pitcher doing up there on the mantle? Let me tell you, son, about the war. Let me tell you about the battle that God helped us win. Let me tell you, I'm glad you reminded me of the victory that I had way back yonder in the war with Gideon. You see, that picture on the mantle had reminding power of a past victory.
Amen.
Sometimes when we're broken, God allows us in our brokenness to be reminded of all the victories that we have won on the way to where we're at right now. That broken vessel had reminding power. It could remind a soldier of the past victory. You know what we need to do every once in a while? Every once in a while, we need to say to the preacher, we need to say, preacher, in our brokenness, say, preacher, I remember the day when you preached that message about. Boy, you talk about something to fire up. Soldier for the Lord. Is somebody reminding him of a past victory? I was sitting on the porch of our fellowship hall the other day with a gentleman that had come down to measure our roof and to give us a price on our roof, and I really didn't know the guy, but he began to tell me. He said, "You probably don't remember, but about 10 or 11 years ago, I heard you preach," and he told me the message, and he told me some of the points of the message I had. And here I was, consumed with grief over what was going on with my wife and her mother. I didn't know what I was going to do when I came to Danville that night. I didn't know what God wanted me to do that night. That was yesterday. God sent somebody who told me about his brokenness, the things he had been through in his life. And how that his testimony of the wicked life he had lived and the broken life he had lived, had they even put it on that unshackled thing. But that broken vessel reminded me of the day that I went up to all the way up to China Grove, North Carolina, and preached in one of them open air tabernacles with about 500 or 600 people sitting in the congregation, and it reminded me of how I saw God move, and how that God that moved then can move now. And I came up here last night with a fire in my bosom because a broken vessel had reminded me of a past victory. You got what you got from me last night because of a broken vessel that I met Tuesday morning. I believe I'm about done. I said I'd get done. There's a fella by the name of Paul in the Bible that's been beaten and abused, mistreated, and left for dead. And he's on a ship headed for Rome, Acts chapter 27. And that ship's being tossed. They've thrown out the tackling. They didn't see the sun or the stars for 14 days. And the Bible says that everybody on the ship said all hope that we should be saved. John said all hope that we should be saved was gone. Luke said that. And Paul steps out and he says, fellas, take some meat. He said, because we're not going to lose anybody. Everybody's going to make it safe to shore. They got close to shore. And there were some fellas trying to jump out of the boat, and they cut off those little boats that they were, those lifeboats, and let them fall off. And the Bible tells us that the storm blew in. And it broke off behind her part of the ship. Mm-hmm. And the captain said, we don't need to let anybody, we need to kill all the prisoners. Or somebody said that. And the captain said, no, we're not going to do it. And the Bible says that those that could swim jumped in the water. But those that couldn't swim, this is what the Bible says. I'm done now. I'm finishing. The Bible says, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. A broken vessel. The chief of sinners, the man with the eye disease, got along with God. And God used a broken vessel to rescue perishing souls. A broken vessel has rescuing power. See, it's not in our own strength. It's in God's strength. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. And you may wonder why I preach this message tonight. Why I would spend so much time laboring, talking about broken vessels. Because a lot of us have broken vessels. Remember how God used Fanny Crosby, that blind songwriter? How God used Rahab the harlot? Ruth the young widow? Peter who cussed and denied the Lord? Billy Sunday who was a drunken baseball player? Isaiah who didn't see the Lord until the king died? David, dying from a venereal disease, inspired Solomon. Timothy was a half-breed. God will use you. But you got to give him your broken vessel. See, a lot of times when our vessels get broken, we don't think our vessel's good enough to give to God. So I'm saying to you tonight, and God said to say this to you tonight, have you got a broken vessel? God could sure make use of it. And it doesn't matter how broken it is. God will put his treasure in it. And use it for his glory. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. My challenge to you tonight is to you and not to the people that are not here. My challenge to you tonight is for you to give God your broken vessel. Quit making excuses. Quit coughing up the I can'ts. Say, if God can do all he did with those broken vessels, then surely God can do something with mine. Father, I love you. I've tried to be mindful. The tone of the service has been different from any other service this week. I have tried to preach to the very hearts, the innermost being of your people. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will do what I could not do. Now bless this invitation. Help that one, Lord, that's been struggling over their usefulness to God to find a place tonight of prayer and to surrender that broken vessel to the God of heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand at our feet. Brother's got us a song. 249, just as I am. I'm challenging you tonight to give the Lord that vessel that you may think